12:25. See that you do not refuse him who speaks. For if they do not escape, you refuse him. Him who spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him. Him who speaks from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he promised, yet once more, I shake not the only earth, also the heavens. Now this, yet once more, indicates the removal of those things that have been shaken, as of those things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace, by which we may serve God acceptably, with reverence and godly fear. For our God is consuming fire.
Amen.
Good to see everybody here today. It's good to be here. I want to thank Jamie for the reading. I tell you, it's incredible. Young man like that just come along to the church. This is all new to him. Last week, while we was in Bristol, there was a good 200 people there. Jamie presented a passage of scripture and then did a little talk about it as well, which was really incredible. So we're really thrilled and we thank you for that. I'm sorry that there was a bit of confusion with me giving you that, so I appreciate you doing that. It's great to have at the back there. We've got Josh. I don't know if you can see Josh in the far right corner. Josh was baptised just recently and just over the moon. He's a fine young man and it's so exciting to see these young people growing in the Lord. That's the direction we want to be going. That's certainly where we want to see them all heading. So, you know, we're just thankful for the decision that he has made along with all the others. We want to extend a very warm welcome to everybody. There's people from Derby and Nottingham and all over and also from Leicester as well. We want to extend a very warm welcome. We want to show our hospitality to you. Listen, if you are a visitor today and you don't have a Bible, please come and see me after and we'll make sure you go home with a new Bible on behalf of the congregation here. So we want to do that. I want to give a special welcome to Godfrey. Godfrey, if you want to stand, was from Nigeria, and so we welcome you into our congregation. It's good to have you here. I know you've got your family to join you as well at some point, so we're praying for that as well. But we welcome you, Godfrey, and God bless you. Thank you for finding us on the internet and coming along. For anyone who's here for the first time, if you're from Leicester, it's the first time here, please come and see us. If you're visiting, come and see us so that we can get you information and get to know you and let you know that you're here because of, you know, we love you and we care about you very much. Over the weeks, really, I've met a lot of people from this congregation going through some struggles and going through some difficulties, and life is difficult. A few weeks ago, I taught a sermon taken from Hebrews 12:25 through 29. If you remember, we was talking about the importance of having a clear understanding about who we are and who has got our backs, who represents us. We're looking there in Hebrews 12. We're not going to base a lesson on this, but I just want to use it as a kind of an introduction that you see that you do not refuse him who speaks, for if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven. But then he goes on to say this, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not only the earth, but also heaven. Now this, yet once more, indicates the removal of those things that have been shaken, as of the things that are made, that the things which remain or which cannot be shaken may remain. And then in verse 28, this was the key. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, what a joy. You know, we're going to go through our lives and we're going to go through some rocky times and some shaky times, and there's going to be some struggles and some difficulties. And he says, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. And we are in the kingdom that cannot be shaken. You see, all our physical things are temporary, everything is temporary. All the things that we're pursuing in life are only here for a short time. But our kingdom, the kingdom of God, is eternal. It is something that the world cannot take from you. You can have everything taken from you, but so long as you maintain your footing in Christ, that kingdom remains for you. And that is part of the gift that God wants us to have. One of the things that I've told a few people this week, quite a few people actually, when things get shaky in your life, trust 100% that God will show up. He's there in your life all the time. When we become Christians, when we're immersed in baptism, we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. God, in spirit, He resides in us. He's our guide. He's our life. We talked about this recently in one of our studies. You know, it is He. The Holy Spirit is the one that tells you when you're getting things wrong in your life. You know, when you do things that are sinful and they beat you up, it's the Holy Spirit that's guiding your mind and helping you to see that these shaky things that the world tries to make you trust in are things that will not get you to heaven. And so when you're going through your difficulties, when you're going through your struggles, the devil wants you to give up on God. He wants you to turn your back from God. And I say that when these same shaky things come in your life, trust that God will show up. And He shows up in all forms. He'll show up in the Christian that comes and meets you and says, "Hey, how can I help you?" He'll show up in maybe something where a problem is resolved. Or maybe something that you learn through a struggle that you go through. Because you know, life is full of struggles. And with some struggles we've got to go through. That's what makes us strong. And so there are the things that God will send us through those trials and struggles to help us to grow and mature and become the best that we can be for Him and His kingdom. Ask yourself this question: how many times has God shown up and you haven't realized? You feel on your own. How many times? Maybe you feel like that today. Maybe you came here today and you feel like, you know, I'm alone. I'm all alone. People will never understand my sins. People will never understand my struggles. People will never understand the situations that we face in our lives. And so we feel alone, and what we don't know is God has shown up and we haven't seen Him yet. We haven't realized He's there. We haven't believed on the fact that He's there. In the Old Testament, in Zephaniah, chapter 3 and verse 17, it says, "The Lord your God in your midst, the mighty one, will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with His love, and He will rejoice over you with singing." Think about that in your life. The Lord your God in your midst. My mother always used to say, "Wherever you go, I may not be able to see you, but God will be there. He'll see you. He'll know what you're doing. But also, He knows when you're going through struggles. He knows when we're in places we shouldn't be, and He'll let you know. And He knows when you've done sins, He's the one that's making you feel bad about it. Because if you was worldly, if you wasn't a Christian, if you didn't have Christ in your life, these things don't matter. The world sees things differently. And so the sins that the world commits are things that they see in a different light to you and me. The things that the world accepts, we reject. We say, these are not the way of God. This is not the will of God. And so when I'm going through my life, when you're going through your life and you're doing things that you shouldn't be doing, the Lord is in your midst. And He's going to help you somehow to get through it because He's shown up with a purpose. And when you're going through those difficulties and struggles in your life, and those who I've spoken with this last week, when you go through difficulties and struggles in your life, the Lord is with you and He's figuring it out. He's working it out for you. And He's going to open doors and opportunities and help you to see that He is there and that He cares over you. Listen to this. The Mighty One. The Mighty One. Who else would you want in your midst other than the mighty one? What, the world? Do we want to go and confide in the world and seek our comforts in the world? We want the mighty one in our midst, the one who will save, the one that gives us that safety. Listen to this. He will rejoice over you with gladness. How wonderful is that? That my Lord is rejoicing over me with gladness. That's the kind of God that we have. The God who, here we are, full of sin, full of weakness, full of corruption, full of things that are wrong. Things in our lives that we know are wrong, and things that we put right, and we're striving to be the best. And here he is in our midst, the mighty one, the one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. I like this. He will quiet you with his love. I can remember as a child growing up, you know, sometimes you'd get that loud shout off your father. You knew he was in big trouble. You'd get this big loud shout. And if he shouted stop, you would stop. You would stop. He quiets you with his love. And it will rejoice over you with sin. The Lord is in your presence. He is there. God in your life, in your midst. The one who saves. He rejoices over you. His love is overwhelming. I always think of those in the time of Noah. During the time of Noah, when Noah was building the ark that the Lord had commanded him to build, you see, the Lord was in Noah's midst. The Lord was present with Noah. And so the Lord was giving Noah this task to build this ark. But little did the people know at that time that the Lord was also in their midst. He was almost amongst them, trying to get them to hear his message through the spokesman. Through those who were saying, change your life. He was with them. He was providing a safety for them by building an ark, and they didn't even hear him. They didn't see him, and they didn't care about him in any way, shape, or form. And so their whole aspect of everything about their life, Matthew 24:38 is, for as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. God's presence was there. In the Garden of Eden, right at the start, God's presence was there. Do you remember when they sinned and they went and hid? And God said, where are you? He knew where they were. He was asking where they were here. He wanted to know where their mindset was. You see, the Lord is always amongst his people. In the days of Noah, the sin that was going on, the Lord was watching it. He was amidst it. But the people were eating and drinking. And the corruption and sin was going on. And Noah was building the ark because the Lord was also in Noah's presence. But Noah listens and he builds the ark according to the command that God had given, with the purpose of saving God's people, those who were willing to change. In verse 39 of the same passage, it says this, that, well, we just go back for us, in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark and did not know, until the flood came and took them all away. So also will be the coming of the Son of Man. They didn't see God until the crisis. Then they saw it. You see, you need to see God now. Don't look for God when this world ends and he returns. And you look and say, there he is. It's too late. You need to see him now. You need to see the Lord now. And these people, he was in their midst. He was amongst them. But these people were busy with their lives. They were busy with their sin. They were busy with their corruption. They did not know until the flood came and took them all away. Why? Because the Lord shut the doors of the ark. And when that flood came and the ark lifted up, then they saw the Lord. And the Lord is crying out, brethren. He's crying out, people, for you to see him. The heavens declare the glory of God. Can you not see him in your creation? Everyone knows early in the morning I walk my dog. 6 a.m., not today. I didn't walk her today. She's like, how happy she is when I left this morning early. But when you're out and you just see God's creation, and you see the countryside, and you see the forests, and you see the trees, and you see, it's amazing. We're watching the autumn, we watch the spring, we watch the summer, we see the flowers, we breathe the air. We have all these things that God has blessed us with, and we go through life and don't see him. The people in the world are doing the same, breathing his air, eating his food, wearing his clothes, living in the materials that built the houses that he provided. And through the life, he gives them answers and solutions to all the problems they have. How to live, how to be a better person, how to have a good marriage, how to be a good father, how to be good, everything he provides. The key thing, salvation. And what happens is this, the Lord is in the midst of the world with his creation. They cannot see him. And so they go through life blind. But a day will come when they will. And so this is why we need to be ready. The heavens declare the glory of God through his creation. He shows himself every day. It's a great starting point. I don't believe in God. Look around you. Come on. Look at this creation. Look at this world. Look what God has built. Look at all this and tell me there is no God. Are you sure? How many times have we failed to see him? Every day of our lives he declares himself through his creation, and yet often we fail to see him. I can tell you, he has got me through so many struggles, so many low points, so many difficult times in my life. He got me through them. Because what I had to do was wake up and recognize the fact that he was there. Remember that he is at my side. He is at your side. Whatever struggles you are going through now, he's with you. He's right near you. He's at your side. And he wants you to see him through his creation. He wants you to see him through everything that he provides. All the things are there for you because he has given those things. And they declare our great God and allow us to see him. The world failed and fails to see him. And it's sad, because a day will come just like in the days of Noah when they will see him. But by that time it will be too late. And so the world sees him differently. The world sees life differently. But we as Christians see through the gift that he was given. In John 1:10, he was in the world and the world was made through him. And it says, the world did not know him. Imagine that. The creator of the world creates the world and he comes down to the earth and the world did not know him. We studied in Kings recently on our midweek class. And we see how the people called upon God to say, we want a king like all the other nations. They had a king. Their king was God in heaven. But they wanted a king like all the other nations. And so God gave them some handsome men. Well, when we were studying, they're all good looking, these men. They're all good looking. You know, they looked the part. You know, when you saw them, they stood up high in the crowds. They were good looking and they were handsome and muscles. And they looked mighty warriors, you know. They looked the part. Because what God did was he gave them what their desire was. It's a bit like the time when he rained down meat in the desert. You remember that? He gave them the food of their fancy. He gave them what they desired. All the time knowing that what he had was far greater. And it far outweighed anything in life. So the Son of God comes down to this earth as the Son of Man. And he stood before the people who were teaching and preaching of a Messiah to come. And he stood in front of them. And they did not recognize him. They could not see him. He was in the world and the world was made through him. The creator. and the world did not know him. He came to his own and his own did not receive him. Imagine that. The creator of the world comes down to his world and the people say, you don't look like a king. Why? Because you are looking through the eyes of those who look for the food of their fancy. You're looking through the eyes of a world that is looking for what we desire, what we want. And the Lord says, no, look at who I am. See me for who I am. I am the Saviour. He says, as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. To those who believed in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but God. In other words, he says, for those who do see me, for those who do recognize me, I give you the right to be called my children. And so when you see him, and when you go to him, he takes you as a child. That is a special relationship. Any parent with a child knows that. A father who says you are his child is a special gift. He was stood on earth and they rejected him. Isaiah 53 and verse 3, we often talk about this passage where he is despised and rejected by man, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we did not esteem him. You see, the problem was this. He was there and they couldn't see him. And so, brethren, everybody here today, I want you to see him in your life. See him in your struggles. See him in your rejoicing. Whatever you're going through in life, the God who we see is the same God of Noah. The same God. He does not change. He's seen generations of people coming and going. He is the same God. And just as he stood there in the time of Noah amongst the people did not see him. He stands today and he eagerly wants you to open your eyes and see the same God who came, and he asks that you give yourself to him. I just want to share one short passage in John 20. In the passage in John 20:24, and this was after Jesus' death and resurrection, he'd risen up from the grave, from the tomb. And we see in the passage now, Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, this is John 20:21. Now, Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So you picture this. They're they all there. They've lost their Saviour. They've watched him crucified. They're frightened. They're afraid. They don't know what to do. And they're in a room, and Jesus appears, resurrected. And he walks into the room. Not through the door. He comes into the room. And we see the other disciples therefore said to him, this is Thomas, we have seen the Lord. We've seen him. We've seen the Lord. And he said to them, well, unless I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. And of course, when the next time that Jesus appears, he was present. And he got to place his hands in the side and feel where those wounds had been. Because the problem was this. He could not see unless he had that physical evidence. So there's a lot of people today. Be careful that you don't go through life with this mindset that God is not present because I have no evidence. God is present. He's working through your life. The evidence was from the day that you gave your life to him in baptism. Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails, But you see, he reveals himself in a way where every day you can know and be sure that he is with you at your side. And then in verse 26, and after 8 days, his disciples were again inside and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, "Peace to you." Then he said to Thomas, this is Thomas, "Thomas, here I am. Reach your finger here and look at my hands, and reach your hand here and put it in my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing." That is what he wants of you. He's saying, don't be unbelieving, be believing. When you're going through these trials, believe and have the confidence to know. And Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." He recognized him. He felt the wounds. He saw the wounds. He recognized him and said, "My Lord, my God." And Jesus said to him, "Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed." But then he says, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe." And the message for each and every one of us today is this. Jesus is present. Jesus is present. Our Lord is present today for you. Your struggles, your problems, all the stresses that you're going through and anxieties, and whether you've got mental health issues or physical bodily issues, or you just feel low and depressed and down. I want you to leave this building today knowing this. The Lord has showed up and he's with you. When you leave here today, you leave and he leaves with you. I want to encourage you to stay strong. I want to encourage you to keep your feet firmly grounded and know that we have a loving God who sings over you, who rejoices over you. That is the love that he has for each one of us. Let's sing the invitation song.